distance, the world looks blue and green, and the snow-capped mountains of white. From a distance, the ocean meets the stream, and the eagle takes to fly. From a distance, it's the voice of everyone. From a distance, we all have enough, and no one is in need. And their glow guns, no bombs, no disease, no hungry mouths.
Join me in prayer. Indeed, God is watching us. Hope of hope, God of love. And in this moment, in this time together, let our thoughts and our prayers be lifted up to you. God, let us feel that hope. Let us feel your presence among us as we meditate on this text today, as we think about the beauty of the words and the song we've just heard, the music that fills our souls. Let us always know that you are the hope of hope. By all the names we know you. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Well, good morning. This text, oh my, this text, it is about so many different things. What are some of the things from the text that just pop out at you? Anything? What about the fish? They had been fishing, apparently, all night long because they were caring for their nets. They were washing their nets the next morning, right? So there's this concept around fish. There weren't enough, and then later in the text, there's so many that it's sinking the boat. What else about this text kind of pops out at you? Anything? Trust, faith, right? Miracles. Well, there's a lot we can do with that, isn't there? How many of you have ever been in that place? Let's be Simon Peter for a minute. He has fished all night, and he has nothing to show for it. Nothing. And then here comes Jesus bringing not just Jesus, but a whole crowd of people following Jesus. And what happens when a crowd comes to your house?
You got to feed them.
You got to feed them. So here is Simon Peter, tired, exhausted. And here comes the teacher, not just the teacher who needs hospitality, but bringing a crowd of people. What are we going to feed them? We didn't catch any fish. So Jesus says to Simon Peter, take the boat out into shallow water. So now I'm tired and exhausted, and I got to get, I mean, there's no motor, right? You get that. There's no crank the cord, and we jet out into the shallow water. We got to row out there. And we're tired. And now he's got this whole crowd gathering, and it's probably growing. And what are we going to do? So Jesus sits down, and he starts thinking and talking to the people and sharing the message. And people are probably reacting. Now, it doesn't tell us in the text, but we assume that's what's happening. And all of a sudden, Jesus says to Simon Peter and the others, let's go to deeper waters and cast our nets. So I'm going to pause there for a second. Have you ever been Simon Peter, exhausted and tired? I see a few heads nodding. I think more of you have been tired. I can't speak for you. But when I'm tired, the last thing I want to do is do more. Yes? So there is a big lesson for us in this. But I think we have to explore that a little bit further. How many of you have ever been overwhelmed? I see a lot of hands. For those of you who aren't raising your hands, maybe you could teach the rest of us. I can't tell you a moment in the last weeks that I've not felt overwhelmed. There's stuff to be done, jobs to do in our work. There is stuff to be done in our homes, bills to be paid, people to care for, tasks that have to be accomplished. So in those places of being overwhelmed, we can either shut down or we can try to find a way out of it. So what we're going to think about this morning is how we get out of it. How do we get above it? The sermon title is When the Water's Over Your Head. How many of you have ever felt like the water is over your head? And maybe there's a ship on top of it. Yeah. See, I think we could probably, sociologists and anthropologists, people who study human behavior, they could probably look at us as a society today, and they could say we are more connected than ever. I'll give you an example. Now, I'm not saying this has happened to any of you, but you're in the bathroom, and your phone rings. Or someone texts you. Now, I don't want to know too much information here. This is a rhetorical question for you. How many of you respond? How many of you answer the phone or you pull it out and you text? I know what happens because I've heard people in the stall next to me talking on the phone. I'm just sorry. I'm just sorry. I can't do two things like that at once. Or if I could, you don't want to know about it. I can remember the days at school when somebody would follow me to the bathroom. You know, they just need a minute with you. And it's important, I get that. But I do bathrooms by myself. How about this world that we live in? This instantaneous world that we live in. It used to be, if somebody called us and we weren't home, they left a message, right? You know the story. Please leave a message at the beep. You know what to do. Well, how many of you don't even bother leaving a message anymore? Right? Honestly, how many of you don't even bother leaving a message when somebody doesn't answer? You might even have one of those apps on your phone, find them, so you can find their phone to see where they are. We live in an instantaneous society, and people expect you right that second. Right that second, they expect you to be able to meet their need. And here's Simon Peter, tired and exhausted. I'm projecting that he's overwhelmed, but he's tired. And in being tired, he's in a place where he says, okay, teacher, we'll go out to shallow water. And then as soon as the teacher says, now go to deeper water, they go to deeper water. Now that does take great faith. And I'm not suggesting that in our tiredness, in our overwhelming places in our lives, it's easy to just do as we're asked. In fact, it's very difficult, isn't it? It is very difficult. 2 weeks ago, Reverend Jenny Carswell brought us a message. And her message was about these moving ships. And the simplistic approach to it is that you can't change the course of a moving ship without tugging it a little bit in another direction. So she talked about tugboats. And last week, Reverend Tom talked about when you face adversity. When Jesus faced adversity, the lesson we could learn was to just keep walking. Just keep walking. Keep moving forward. Those are wonderful thoughts. But how do we do that? When we are in that place where the weight of the world is so broad we can't carry it anymore, how do we move forward? How do we move ahead? How do we ease the burden? So for you, for me, I think we have to remember faith is about more than just being in church on Sunday. Faith is about in those moments when we are absolutely pressed to the wall, pressed to the absolute maximums of our limits, how we define our actions when faced in the greatest adversity. We know that there is evil in the world. We hear about children who are abused. We hear about people who are held hostage. We hear about people who are unfortunate victims to violence. We know that that evil exists. But how we pull together is the measure of our faith. How we find our way to share is what defines for us what faith means. Now, in your experiences, in my experiences, when I'm overwhelmed, how I react is to make a to-do list. That's Tammy Rabin 101. If I can't break it down into step by step or things at least that I can do, then I can't make it out of that overwhelmed place. You may not be a to-do list kind of person. There may be something else that works for you. It might be something so simple as calling your best friend. It might be something like getting into your car or getting into your iPod and listening to music that inspires you. It might be praying. It might be going to Starbucks and treating yourself. It might be going for a run. But when you're in that place where the pressure seems so heavy, so insurmountable, that's when we really have to pause. We really have to think about what it is that we would do next. What's our next course of action? I call it floaty or snorkel time. Floaty or snorkel time. Do you need floaties that can raise you up above the water that's over your head? Or do you need a snorkel because there's no raising you up? You are so far underwater, the only hope for you now is to have that tube that goes up to draw the air in. See, I think the lesson for us from Simon Peter is that sometimes your faith needs a little help. That's why we come to church. It's why we listen to inspirational music, words. It's why we pray. Our faith needs a little bit of help. There needs to be something physical that helps us raise ourselves. Or there needs to be something physical that we can breathe through. Floaties or snorkels? Simon Peter's answer was, "Yes, teacher, let us go out into the water." And when they went out into the water, what happened? They caught so much fish, they had to bring the second boat over. In those moments in our lives, we have to remember to reach out. We have to remember that what we face, what is before us, is nothing compared to what is within us. Nothing compared to what is within us. How many of you remember the footprints poem or story, right? So that in those times that you face the greatest adversity, this person looks back and they say, you know, I see two sets of footprints, but in those horrid moments, in those times of the greatest shadows, I only see one set of footprints. And God says, that, my child, is when I carried you. Those times are when I bared the burden, when I carried the weight for you. We have to believe in our hearts that God loves us exactly as we were created, and that in those times when we have the greatest need, in those times when we feel the most pressure, we have to remember that God is inside of us. Now, it doesn't always come easily because you may not feel like there's any help God can give you. But just like we pick up the phone and we call our friend, or just like we put on our iPad and turn on some inspirational words, those times are ours. Those times are our opportunity to define ourselves, to define our relationship with the divine. And I'm not going to tell you that you're going to feel immediate relief. You're not always going to fish and fill a boat so heavy that it's sinking. It may be such a nuance of difference for you that we really don't know if God is still there with us. But instead of being overwhelmed and shutting down, instead of being in places where we feel victimized, I think this text shows us we have a choice. And the choice is how we approach what we're doing. I'm always going to have floaties or a snorkel. Always. Because those floaties help me. And you are my floaties. My peers at work are my floaties. My snorkel is my faith. Sometimes my faith can't get the job done that's before me, but it lets me believe that the floaties that are out there, my peers who are out there, my friends will help me. This text really illustrates for us the opportunity to remember that whatever we face, God is watching, and that the hope of hope is the God of our love. And in that place, in that moment, where we really don't know which way to go, our choice is always to remember God is with us, watching. Will you pray with me? God, we do give you so many opportunities to watch over us. And we thank you for your presence, for your love, and for your constant companionship. That in the most difficult times, even if you can't help us resolve what we face, you can help us face it. We thank you for floaties and snorkels. In all the names that we know you. Amen.
The older woman that lives.